If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Leviticus chapter 25, and the first part of verse 10, a word for 4th of July weekend. Leviticus chapter 25, first part of verse 10. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. And we want to focus on these words this morning, proclaim liberty throughout the land. And let's pray. Lord, just thank you for this country. Just thank you, Lord, for so many people who sacrificed their lives and fortunes and sacred honor, Lord, so that we could be here today and enjoying the freedom that we still have as a nation 243 years later. And I pray that you just show us this morning our own responsibility in our own day to do exactly the same thing, to preserve that freedom and to pass it on. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. One of the most popular symbols for America and the American Revolution and freedom and liberty is the Liberty Bell that sits outside of Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It was originally commissioned back in 1751 by the Pennsylvania Assembly to mark the 50th birthday or jubilee year of the founding of Pennsylvania. And the reason it's connected to the founding of our country is because it was rung for the very first time on July the 8th, 1776, at the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence. And all through the Revolutionary War, Americans saw that bell as a symbol of freedom from tyranny. And there's some words inscribed on that bell taken from Leviticus chapter 25, where God tells Israel what they need to do to celebrate their 50th year or jubilee year too. Specifically, chapter 25, verse 10, where it says, proclaim liberty throughout the land. And that's not just something Americans needed to do during the Revolutionary War. It's also something we Americans today desperately need to do right now because freedom and liberty right now is under assault on every side like never before. Our text this morning, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, tells us three things that we need to do to proclaim liberty in the United States of America today while there's still time before it's too late once and for all. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do in order to proclaim liberty in the United States, we need to understand what liberty is and understand that freedom comes from God. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve they were free to eat from any tree except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So even from the very beginning, freedom has always had limits because God knew we human beings would sin and abuse that freedom and use it to disobey Him and hurt other people. So real freedom is not the right to do whatever we want to do. Real freedom is the ability to do whatever it is that God wants us to do, according to the Bible. And that ability comes from knowing Jesus and from having the power of the Holy Spirit inside to help us obey Him. So real freedom is freedom in Christ, is freedom from sin. So regardless of what all the anti-Christian bigots are saying today, Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, it is for freedom, not oppression, not harassment, not persecution, not slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom comes from God. And that's exactly what our founding fathers understood too. Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, all people are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And how did Thomas Jefferson know that? Because he read it in the Bible. And because freedom comes from God, that means our rights and freedoms don't come from government. And because rights and freedoms don't come from government, government can't take them away. And because that, it's the job of government just to recognize those rights and acknowledge them and protect them and defend them. Thomas Jefferson wrote, to preserve those liberties, governments are instituted among men. But again, there's limits. Because our founding documents tell us we exercise those rights and freedoms within the confines of the laws of nature and nature's God. Our founding fathers understood from Scripture that we human beings have a sinful nature. So they set up a form of government to limit the power of that sinful nature. where government power is divided into three different branches with a system of checks and balances and a Bill of Rights. So the vast majority of our U.S. Constitution specifically spells out what government can't do to us. So even though freedom is limited, it's also protected. Do we understand what freedom really is? Because most Americans today don't have a clue. 94% of all college students in America today can graduate with some kind of degree without ever having to take one single class in American history. God help us, people, and we're paying for it. Because too many Americans today have no clue what freedom really is. Too many Americans have this silly idea that freedom is just like that old song by the Soup Dragons. I'm free to do whatever I want any old time. Freedom is the right to do whatever I want, however I want to do it, whenever I want to do it. But folks, if that was the case, our founding fathers would have saved themselves a lot of time and just written, whatever floats your boat. But they didn't do that. Elsa in that movie Frozen sings these words. Time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. So even kids are getting the wrong idea. Americans have completely turned their back on any biblical concept of what freedom really is. And we see that all over the place. In the 2015 gay marriage ruling, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote these words. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence and of meaning. Really? In other words, the heck with what God says in the Bible, people are just going to create their own rights. And that's exactly what's been happening. People, judges, courts, just creating rights right out of thin air. See the pro-death supporter over here with her sign? Women's reproductive rights. And then she has Philippians chapter 4, verse 28. Philippians, how cute. People have become their own authority because there is no so-called right to have an abortion anywhere in the U.S. Constitution or anywhere in the Bible either. Gay rights? When did we vote that June was supposed to be Gay Pride Month? Because I don't remember doing that. Transgender rights? Legalized gambling? Recreational marijuana? Did you see all the Democratic presidential candidates the other night arguing about abortion rights for transgendered people? Wrap your brain around that for a while. Everybody does what is right in his own eyes because there is no constitutional right or God-given right to do something that's wrong. Ever since the state of Colorado legalized recreational marijuana, addiction rate in that state has gone up 272%. And you know why? Because if your concept of freedom doesn't match up with the Bible's concept of freedom, your freedom ain't nothing but slavery. Do we understand what freedom really is? And I know there's some people listening to this sermon right now saying, Kevin, if it's really freedom, it can't have any limits at all. Really. Back in 1986, some officials started an experimental school for young kids on the outskirts of the town of Pomona, California. The Explorers Charter School. That was supposed to help kids tap into their natural curiosity and go exploring. And for the first 3 months, there was a fence located all the way around that schoolyard to keep all the kids close to the building. But starting in the fourth month, officials tore that fence down so the kids could go off and explore beyond the boundaries. But the officials were absolutely stunned. Because the vast majority of those kids, instead of free-ranging all over the place without the fence, ventured no further than the front door of that school. And what's the moral of the story? Kids need boundaries so they can feel safe, so then they can tap into their natural curiosity and go exploring. And adults, exactly the same thing is true with us. We need guidelines to help protect us from ourselves and from other people and from other things. There is freedom, yeah, but there's also limits because we need to feel safe so we can experience and enjoy those freedoms that God has given us. Freedom within limits. Our founding fathers understood that when they gave us the U.S. Constitution. And our Heavenly Father understood that when He gave us the Bible and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, or He's not invited, or kicked out, there is no freedom at all. The first thing that we need to do in order to proclaim liberty in America today, we need to understand what freedom and liberty really is. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to proclaim liberty in America. We not only need to understand what liberty is, we also need to understand that liberty is under attack today from every side. And the biggest threat of all is coming from socialism, where the government takes money away from people who work for it and gives that money to people who don't and says, you're going to like it. 43% of Americans, 2 out of 3 millennials, and every single Democratic presidential candidate is in the tank for socialism. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said this, "This country has plenty of money, it's just all in the wrong hands. And the Democratic Party is going to do something about that." Well, what are they going to do? Steal it? Well, yeah. The biggest problem with socialism, most people don't like working for nothing. So socialism has to be forced on people. It goes contrary to human nature and human ambition. Karl Marx, the father of socialism, said this, "From each according to his ability, to each according to his need, and all for the common good." But C.S. Lewis said this, "The greatest evils ever perpetrated on mankind are those that are done for the common good." I agree. Socialist Bernie Sanders says that capitalism is the unpardonable sin because it doesn't produce equal amounts of wealth for all people. But no economic system does. And socialism doesn't do that either. Venezuelan dictator Hugo Chavez died with a personal fortune of over $4 billion, money that he had stolen from Venezuelan oil companies that was supposed to go to the people of Venezuela. See, in socialism, all the party bosses at the top of the pyramid scheme get all the gravy, everybody else gets the slop. But young people today don't understand that. Millennials today see socialism, they think it means Social Security and free education and free health care and affordable housing. But socialism has never, ever, ever delivered the goods that it promised. And that's why it's so crazy that socialism is being resurrected again today, all over again, because socialism has never worked any time it's ever been tried anywhere in the world. In Russia, Germany, China, Cuba, Vietnam, Cambodia, North Korea, Ethiopia, Afghanistan, Venezuela, I could go on and on. Remember that old song by Peter, Paul, and Mary? Where have all the flowers gone? That one line that's repeated over and over, when will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? But all people say, socialism's different today. Bernie Sanders calls his version democratic socialism. Communist leader Vladimir Lenin said this, "Any form of socialism always, 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 always leads to communism." Well, there's nothing wrong with socialism itself. It's just they've never had the right leader in charge of it. Really? Folks, if the idea of socialism is so pure, don't you think that some commie somewhere along the line would have gotten it right, even by accident? But they never did. In Venezuela right now, inflation rate is 2,000,000%. And even people with full-time jobs are dumpster diving just to eat. The average citizen in Venezuela has lost 24 pounds just since last April. Behold, the workers' paradise. The only sure thing that socialism has ever produced throughout human history are hundreds of millions of dead bodies. from all the mass murders. Nazi socialist Germany, 70 million people murdered. China, 65 million murdered. The Soviet Union, 25 million. And tens of millions of others in other countries. Close to 200 million dead total since 1917. Socialism is the most godless, anti-Christian, demonic, soul-destroying evil that the devil has ever perpetrated on this world. And we see that proof over and over and over and over again. And the only reason I can think of for God allowing that to happen is to warn us today, don't ever, ever, ever go down that road again. I don't care who's pushing it. I don't care what kind of name they put on it. Old witches never die. They just change shape. Socialism destroys freedom. But it's not just socialism that's attacking. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal to save the planet is going to cost us $94 trillion and raise your income tax rate to 70% of everything that you make. The funny thing is, though, if the Green New Deal is really supposed to save the planet, why does it include things like free Medicare for everybody and a guaranteed income even for people who are unwilling to work? Not unable, but unwilling. I'll tell you why. Because it's not about saving the planet. It's just another big government power grab to control every single aspect of your life. The Equality Act will make it illegal to refer to a man as a man and to a woman as a woman. Folks, if your government has the power to make you defy common sense and biological reality and say that Bruce Jenner is really a woman, that government can do anything to you. It's way too big. Right now in New York State, convicted male rapists in prison are claiming that they're transgender so they can be housed in women's prisons so they can victimize even more women. But hey, if a guy says he's a woman, right? Isn't that the standard? Do we see the absolute disaster that happens when you create stupid rights for some people by taking legitimate rights away from other people? Our founding fathers called religious freedom the first freedom, because it was the most important. That's why it's mentioned first in the First Amendment. But right now, in the state of California, gay activists are pushing a bill that says if a pastor or church leader or any Christian citizen even quotes what the Bible says about homosexuality or says anything negative about homosexuality in any way, shape, or form, they will be arrested and put in prison for hate crimes. If your government can control your personal religious convictions, if religious freedom doesn't matter at all, then no other freedom matters at all anymore either. And it really is over with. But see, that's what all these attacks are really all about. It's destroying the influence of Christianity in America. 49 men from Prince George's County, Maryland, died serving their country in World War I. So after the war, all their mothers got together and made a memorial for them and for all the fallen heroes in that war. A 40-foot tall concrete and granite cross with the names of the 49 men inscribed at the bottom of it. And in 1925, that cross was put up on public property at a busy intersection near Bladensburg, Maryland. And nobody ever had a problem with it. And because the 49 bodies of those men never came back from Europe, that cross was the only grave marker that their family members ever had. And that cross stood there for 89 years without anybody having any problem with it whatsoever. And the locals were so familiar with it, they just called it the Peace Cross and saw it as a war memorial and even used it to give directions to out-of-towners. No problem whatsoever until 2014 when an atheist named Steve Lowe, who just moved to the area, took one look at that cross and had a royal cow and said because it's a Christian cross, it's too exclusionary of other faiths. And because that Christian cross is sitting on public property, it violates the imaginary clause in the U.S. Constitution of the separation of church and state that doesn't even exist in the Constitution. So Steve Lowe called the American Humanist Association, more people who obviously don't have anything better to do with their time, and they filed a lawsuit against the city demanding that that cross be taken down. Well, in 2016, a circuit court ruled in favor of the cross. But in 2017, an appellate court said the cross was unconstitutional and had to be torn down. Or, get this, modified by having the arms cut off so it looked more like a pole or an obelisk instead. But folks, it's supposed to be a cross. So it's supposed to look like a cross. See, you take your Christianity and chop it up and slice it and dice it until we say it's acceptable, then we'll decide whether or not you can keep it. Well, the American Legion said the heck with that. Last February, they took that case all the way to the Supreme Court. And what do you know? Just this past June the 20th, the United States Supreme Court said that cross could stay exactly where it is, exactly like it is. And if anybody's offended by that, tough toenails, because there is no right anywhere in the U.S. Constitution to not be offended by something you don't like or agree with. But folks, if the U.S. Supreme Court had ruled in the other direction, that cross, every cross in America, every single trace of Christianity in this country would have gotten the axe, which is exactly what the liberal left in this country wants. Today, there are many, many enemies of the cross who want to destroy our rights and freedoms as Christians. And Christians, if we ever give those rights and freedoms away, we will never, ever, ever get them back again. The second thing we need to do in order to proclaim liberty in America, we need to understand that liberty is under attack. Third thing from this text. Third thing we need to do in order to proclaim liberty in the United States today. We not only need to understand what liberty is, we not only need to understand that liberty is under attack, but third, we need to stand up and defend it and fight for it. Because freedom is constantly in need of being defended. President Ronald Reagan said this, "Freedom is always one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It has to be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same." We've got to fight and defend it. We've got to fight for freedom because America today is filled with people who absolutely hate this country and want to see it destroyed. Because America was founded by WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. They think that means America has always been anti-minority, anti-black, anti-woman, anti-gay from the very start. So the Christianity has to go. Last April, an engineer with Google named Liam Hopkins says all Christian conservatives in America are Nazis. Gee, why don't you say what you really think? Last April the 17th, after Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris caught on fire, a man named Mark Lamparello was arrested in New York City for bringing a gas can into St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan because he wanted to see that church burn too. And what do you know? Mark Lamparello is a college professor at Brooklyn College. So what do you think he's been teaching his students about the influence of Christianity on America? Folks, America was founded on Christianity. If it wasn't for Christianity, America would not be here. See the sign? No borders, no wall, no USA at all. You don't think there's Americans in America today that hate America? Back in the 1960s, two liberal college professors named Cloward and Piven came up with a strategy to destroy the United States of America by flooding our welfare system with so many poor people that system would collapse and the nation would have to turn to socialism and communism just to survive. And folks, don't tell me that's not what liberals aren't trying to do right now with illegal aliens. Because liberals today have no desire whatsoever to stop any kind of illegal immigration at all, or even slow it down. 12 states are already giving illegal aliens driver's licenses, including the state of Illinois. 11 states are already letting illegal aliens vote in elections. The United States Supreme Court would not even allow that question on the U.S. Census. Are you a U.S. citizen? And did you see all the Democratic presidential candidates the other night when they were asked, would you give free health care to illegal aliens? They all raised their hand. Free health care Most American citizens don't have free health care. Free food, free education, a free place to live. And the question is, are you going to give all those free things to all the other 3 billion people in the world who want to live here in America too? Talk about Cloward and Piven on steroids. 25 U.S. military veterans blow their brains out every single day in this country while we're paying for illegal aliens to have free sex change operations. You don't think we need to stand up for freedom and fight for it? We need to fight for freedom because we have lost an entire generation of people who have no appreciation whatsoever for the freedom that we have in this country. U.S. women's soccer star Megan Rapinoe says she will never stand up for the national anthem or sing the Star-Spangled Banner ever again because America denies her rights as a lesbian. Folks, the United States of America has given that woman the freedom to write her own script and to become a millionaire international sports star. And she hates this country with a purple prickly pear passion. Last Sunday, there were gay pride parades in major cities all over the United States. All the LGBT people out and loud and proud and strutting their stuff. But did you see what happened in the nation of Turkey? Where there's a strict Muslim government, in the city of Istanbul, when 5 gay activists tried to start some kind of a small demonstration, stormtrooper police immediately rushed in, beat the snot out of them, and threw them in prison. There's what ISIS is doing to homosexuals and gays in the nation of Syria, throwing them off the tops of buildings and high-rises and killing them. There's your gay pride parade right there. There's people listening to the sermon right now. You think you're a victim here in the United States? You think you're being harassed and oppressed and persecuted? You better get on your knees right now and thank God Almighty for the freedom that He's given you here. Freedom the likes of which no other people in any other nation has ever seen or witnessed or experienced before. God has shed His grace on the United States and made us the greatest, strongest, richest, freest country in the history of the whole wide world. But just like Judges chapter 2 verse 10, there grew up a generation in the United States who neither knew the Lord or what He had done for America. And people, we are paying for it. We need to fight. We need to fight for freedom. Every single one of us needs to speak up in our own particular circles of influence. We do need to go to county board meetings and city council meetings. We do need to write those letters and make those phone calls and contact our representatives. Sometimes it's just a matter of deciding what we are and what we are not going to buy. This past week, Nike Corporation was all set to release a special July 4th Air Max shoe honoring Betsy Ross and the flag that she came up with. 13 stars representing the 13 original colonies. But then one of Nike's spokesmen, trader Colin Kaepernick, got Nike to nix all those shoes because he said that flag was racist and a symbol for slavery. What? Folks, if that flag is racist, why did Barack Obama, the first black president, have those flags displayed at his second inauguration ceremony in Washington, D.C. back in 2013? Well, Nike had already sunk $185 million into a brand new manufacturing plant in Goodyear, Arizona. But when Arizona Governor Doug Ducey heard how Nike had caved to political correctness, he made this announcement. Words cannot express my disappointment at this terrible decision. I am embarrassed for Nike. Instead of celebrating American history the week of our nation's independence, Nike has decided that Betsy Ross is unworthy and has bowed to the current onslaught of political correctness and historical revisionism. Nike has made its decision, so we will make ours. Arizona's economy is doing just fine without Nike. And we will be pulling millions of dollars in tax incentives we had planned to give them for locating in our state. And we are canceling our current contract for the Nike plant in the city of Goodyear. That's fighting. You want to interpret every single thing about the founding of this country as something racist, go right ahead. But we're not going to support it. And not only that, but all over America right now, people who bought other Nike shoes are taking them back, saying that those shoes make their feet hurt every time they stand up for the national anthem. Touche! Christians, we've got to fight. So we never forget the real cost of real freedom. Last June the 6th was the 75th anniversary of D-Day, one of the most critical battles in the history of the whole wide world. June 6, 1944, when Allied forces stormed the beaches in Normandy and France and started the liberation of Nazi-occupied Western Europe in World War II. And if you ever go to that beach in Normandy, you will see things there that will make you never, ever, ever forget the price that those soldiers paid for our freedom. You'll see what's left of Mulberry Harbor, the temporary portable harbor that the soldiers used to offload cargo onto the shore. You'll see the German batteries that killed so many thousands of our Allied troops. And then you'll see Omaha Beach, where the Americans got the worst of it, the bloodiest sight in that entire battle, where the Americans landed in rough surf under heavy fire from German batteries in the cliffs above. And over 2,400 American soldiers were mowed down like sitting ducks. A lot of them before they ever got to the beach. Most of them only 18 years old. And it's a very wide beach. Like a beach where a lot of people would be playing in the surf. But the strange thing is, instead, it's eerily quiet. Just the sound of the waves and the gulls. And locals say to this day, 75 years later, the water still comes in tinted red because of all the blood that was shed there on D-Day. And funny thing, like nowhere else in the entire world, for some reason, a lot of the rocks on that beach are shaped like hearts. Another tribute to all the men who sacrificed their lives there that day so we could be free. And over the hill is the U.S. cemetery, the final resting place for 9,387 U.S. soldiers who died on D-Day and in the battles immediately following. And it takes your breath away. 170 acres of thousands and thousands and thousands of gleaming white crosses. And a wall that has written on it the names of 1,600 American soldiers who are listed as missing in action and presumed dead. And the graves of 307 more American soldiers whose remains are unknown. And on their crosses, it says this: "Here lies in honored glory a comrade in arms known but to God." And then right in front of the main memorial, you see that. A 22-foot-tall statue called the Spirit of America's Youth. And he looks like he's coming right up out of the waves, just like so many of those young American men did on D-Day. And as he is dying for his country, he's holding up his arms as if he is committing his soul to God, just like so many American troops did there on D-Day. And the inscription on that statue says this: "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." You ever see that beach, you will never, ever, ever, ever forget what happened there. And as a nation, God help us if we ever forget it either. My fellow Americans, if there was ever a time that we needed to proclaim liberty and stand up and speak up and defend it and protect it and fight for it, it is right now. Because the freedom that we have enjoyed in this nation has never been experienced by any other nation throughout the history of the world. And exactly the same thing is true to this day. So when it comes to freedom, it's either here or it's nowhere. It's either now or it's never. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. not to act is to act. So folks, say something. Do something. Pray like crazy for the United States of America. And proclaim freedom and liberty throughout the land. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. 243 years after this American experiment started, Lord, we are still here. I just thank you that our founding fathers were wise enough and smart enough because of your leading that they put freedom in you. And also put freedom not in a man, but in a document, in a process that could be used year after year after year. I just pray, Lord, every single one of us now as American citizens, Christians, but also American citizens, that you would just show us what it is we need to do to protect and preserve that freedom, Lord, that you've given us so precious, and pass it on to the next generation until you come again. It's in danger, Lord. I pray you just give us the boldness, the courage to stand up, speak up, and by your help, Lord, to preserve it. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.